What are some strategies or tips to prepare their website for the summer seasons and increased demand from homeowners?
I think for most folks, it's easiest to start with the visual side of things. A website should never be static. It should never be something that is the same throughout the year. How a consumer views your website, it should resonate with their needs and services that would occur during that time of year.
You're listening to Bluetooth, the home services podcast featuring the top owners, marketers, and operators across the trade, bringing contractors together to uncover real problems, provide real solutions, and push the trades forward. This is Bluetooth.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to another episode of Bluetooth, the home services podcast powered by Blue Corona. I'm your host, Brandon Doyle. And today, our guest today, Chase Wolf, account director at Blue Corona, is one of those people that from my very early days in Blue Corona, coming up on 10 years, has been one of those people that has lived our core values, always putting clients first, and is just an incredibly smart person. So I'm super excited to have Chase on. And Chase, I hope that wasn't too embarrassing there for you, buddy.
That is certainly flattering, Brandon. And it's been a long time, buddy.
Tell us about your time at Blue Corona and your journey here and kind of all aspects of the business that you've been able to touch over your time.
This is a fun fact for you since you're down in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. I was actually born in Asheville, North Carolina. So maybe a little bit of that. But I spent most of my life in Maryland and I'm currently in Northern Virginia. So my wife and I got married in February of last year, moved to Northern Virginia. So my career at Blue Corona started off in 2009.
I had to do some stalking. I kind of felt like a little like a middle school girl or like I was crushing on someone, you know, back in high school because I did do some stalking and I did see, Chase, that you were correct, 2009. You want to know what I was doing in 2009?
Please, Brandon, what were you doing in 2009?
Assuming your LinkedIn is correct and that you joined in the fall of 2009, I was a couple months into my freshman year of college when you first started at Blue Corona.
Living life, enjoying those good old days.
And here we are having a drink after and talking home services marketing after our children are down because that's the only
time. Never would have guessed that. Well, you know, I started my career as the fourth employee at Blue Corona. It was just a dream and a lot of hard work that was put in front of us, which meant we wore a ton of hats. And I think that in and of itself has given me great perspective for a lot of our clients dealing with business owners themselves, dealing with companies that have very high growth and aspirational goals for their company. I got to experience a lot of the cultural building blocks that goes into how you make a good foundation for a company, but also how do you figure out how to treat your clients in a way that you can sustain as you grow? So my skill set coming into Blue Corona was a lot more on the design, the development, the technical side.
Websites, right?
Yeah. I was our first designer, developer, project manager, director of web development. And that was really the first 10 years of my time at Blue Corona was crafting and building the foundation that would become our media and creative side of the business. And then ultimately, I had so many interactions with customers, both because we were, a very small agency for a long time and I had to wear many hats, but also because I had that project management and some of that early conversations with clients about what they needed in a website, what would look well for them. So that ultimately led me to the seat that I'm in now, which is much more of a consultative, high-level strategy role as an account director. So, I get the honor of working with fantastic specialists who, in many cases, are smarter than me on a day-to-day basis of what's changing. But I get to overlay my experience in the past 14 years and translate the technical to our clients who are really trying to navigate all the changes going on. In the world of digital marketing, but also just, this market in general.
Well, I'm curious, Chase, you spent 10 years in a web development capacity. Speaking from my own experience and working with you over that time, everything from project manager to director of web development. But you mentioned that you were the fourth employee at Blue Corona. So that means you're probably now one of the number one or number two most tenured employees, probably right around there, maybe three.
Right around there.
I'm curious, Chase, if there's anything that, as you talk with a lot of our clients who are entrepreneurs themselves, is there anything that you've been able to, that has translated from your early days at Blue Corona to working with entrepreneurs within the home services, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, restoration, roofing, you know, like what are some of those things that translated from the early days of Blue Corona that maybe you're seeing with your clients now and can relate to and sympathize with and help them solve?
There's a lot of things, David. For starters, I think the challenge of knowing how to establish a good company culture, how to really grow your employees in a way that services your end vision. For example, we were a big proponent of the EOS platform. So you know, probably 8 years into the Blue Corona journey, we decided we needed to have a platform for issue processing, regular communication with everybody on all the teams, you know, as well as a way to have new ideas be brought to the table. A lot of our clients use that platform or something like that. And so I get to resonate with, you know, when we started, how we utilized that. But I mean, that bleeds into a lot of the decisions at different stages of the growth, right? So when you're a $1 million company, you can get away with doing certain things, brute forcing your way to client satisfaction or, you know, essentially as an owner, jumping on the phone with clients, you know, going out to visit, you know, ride-alongs and so forth. When you start to get to those, you know, upper echelons of size, you have to diversify your management structure. You have to make sure that you hire the right types of leaders on your team. Otherwise, you just don't have the right motivation. You don't have the right plans and systems in place. And it's really difficult to get away from what I consider to be the most painful part of ownership of a small business as an entrepreneur, which is, you know, the administrative overhead. You can't really grow your business if you can't get outside of that. And I think a lot of our companies that we work with, I can resonate with the business owner on that. They either, you know, are in it, they're going through it, they've been through it, they're on the other side of it, you know, and then ultimately it comes down to, if you had a dollar that was your own, where would you spend it in marketing? And I can tell you numerous stories about how early on we were trying to grow our presence, our clout within the market, and we tried so many different things. And I know our customers are the same way in that they feel very strongly and they bleed their brand, but it is their own money in a lot of cases. And in some cases, it's not, but it's still a relevant point to talk about being judicious with both your time and where you're spending your marketing dollars.
Well, I think that's so important. You make a good point about where you spend your marketing dollars. And I know you touched on a lot there, Chase, but thinking about my own journey here at Blue Corona over the past, again, call it 10 years, I started as the role was called a content marketing specialist, essentially SEO analyst, copywriter, right? When you're in that seat and you're entry level and you're young, I know you don't really have an appreciation for the entrepreneurial spirit and the hard work that goes into hiring a digital marketing agency, whether it's Blue Corona or not, right? And that is, to your point, that is hard-earned dollars that a business owner or someone is spending, and they need to know, you know, where are the best places to spend it, which is a big part of what we do here at Blue Corona. That's why we track and tag phone calls. That's why we integrate with Service Titan so we can, tie everything back to revenue. But you're absolutely right. You know, the challenges of growing and scaling a business, even that I've seen over the years in my time here at Blue Corona, are something very unique. And you started just after the Great Recession, 2009, too. And, you know, 2024 is off to a little bit of a slow start here for a lot of contractors. And so when we think about the history of Blue Corona and when we started in the Great Recession and everything the economy is going through right now, it's been a little bit of a tough year for some contractors, Chase. Curious to hear your take on just this year so far. What are you hearing and seeing from your clients and your take on kind of the overall state of the home service industry today?
Yeah, and we have a lot of data around market trends, demand trends, but a lot of the best insights we get are just talking to the different contractors across the country. Different markets will have unique aspects, of course, but some of the biggest trends that we're seeing are a continuation of a sensitivity to wanting to invest in large new systems, larger projects, and that makes up a large portion of the yearly revenue for most of our clients in this space. And so that's been really tough when clients are looking to repair first, where in years past, maybe a larger percentage were more open to.
For the past couple of years, you know, COVID and coming out of COVID, a lot of those new system installs that, you know, maybe a system that was about, that just turned 8 years old, was pulled up a couple of years, right? And if you look at the shipments from manufacturers, they've kind of fallen off a cliff. And I think a lot of that is due to, again, COVID and contractors' business was booming. And so a lot of those replacements or install jobs got pulled forward that should be getting replaced now.
100%. And you saw a lot of that booming, but you also didn't see as volatile of weather patterns. I think last year and this year, in similar ways, you've seen milder winters, which has meant the heating season has been shorter, less profitable for a lot of our customers. The shoulder season has come a lot quicker for them. And that shoulder season doesn't apply to every industry and every service line, of course. But I think when the summer takes longer to get here, or it's a little bit milder than what it has been in years past, you don't see that crazy rush or demand, and it gets pent up. And so it creates a lot more stress on the marketing planning. It creates a lot more stress on the capacity and the in-house team to keep the technicians and the employees, you know, on site, on jobs. And I think it drives different types of behaviors that we haven't seen in years past. Well, a lot more, well, need for outbound engagement, a lot more maintenance agreement focus. But you know, with that weather pattern, last year we saw record highs. It just didn't come until later in the year. And so depending on what part of the country you're in, you know, that creates a different set of problems when you've been over capacity for so long, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just get slammed, and it's hard to plan for that. So we've seen that trend. We're also seeing that, you know, trends where just prices across the board, manufacturer costs, prices of paid advertisement. So whether it's buying media or whether it's paid ads on Google, well, competition is rising, but also just prices are rising, and that's, you know, creating a pinch as well. So lots of factors have gone into making strategic decisions, being very, very specific and deliberate with planning out a lot further than I think most people are comfortable doing in a lot of normal cases.
Well, that's a nice segue, Chase, into the reason why we're sitting down tonight, right? Or I guess I'm standing. But that's the reason why we're chatting tonight. You touched on shoulder season, and we actually just put out another episode of Bluetooth with Nick Rauer, a digital marketing coach at Nexstar Network, all about how to keep your schedule busy and filled with jobs during shoulder season. So if you haven't listened to that, listeners, go ahead and go back one episode and take a listen to that. But Chase, you mentioned shoulder season, right? Planning ahead. It is May 16th when we are recording this, and summer is approaching fast. And that is when you and I caught up. You know, we got talking about just planning and strategizing and really preparing your digital marketing campaigns, your website, kind of everything online that you could be doing for that summer demand. And now, Chase, you've mentioned like heating and cooling a lot, right? And we do work with a lot of HVAC customers, but peak season, summertime, I mean, that drives a lot of demand across restoration. You know, there's all sorts of storms, hurricane season in the Southeast, right? You have landscapers who get busier during the summer, exterior remodelers, siding companies, you know, so it's not just HVAC, even though we do work with a lot of HVAC customers. But the reason I wanted to get us on, Chase, was to talk about and give our listeners some strategies and some takeaways that they could take and start preparing their digital marketing campaigns for summer. You know, I like to say that summertime in home services creates a weather enhanced environment, Chase, maybe not weather driven, right? But weather enhanced. And so let's start with a contractor's website. You know, a website is something that a contractor should own, right? The marketing agency should never own it. A contractor should own it. So presumably a website is within someone's control, Chase, whether it be within the contractor's control, the marketing agency, an in-house marketer, consultant, whoever, right? So let's just start with the website. What are some strategies or tips that our listeners can take away to prepare their website for the summer seasons and increased demand from homeowners?
I think for most folks, it's easiest to start with the visual side of things. So a website should never be static. It should never be something that is the same throughout the year. So if you think about how a consumer views your website at different times of the year, it should resonate with their needs and it should resonate with the type of services that would occur during that time of year. So if you think about a navigation or you think about the service offerings you might see on the homepage, you would want to change the order of things. You would want to lead with things that are a little bit more appropriate. If you're remodeling, you know, changing the imagery to be one that is a little bit more summer focused. Consumers like to get to a website and feel like it resonates with how they want to feel, not how they are currently feeling. So whether that image be of like the outdoor fireplace or the deck or the landscaping that needs to happen, you know, spring into summer, those types of things are important. I think little things that you may not notice are also important, such as changing some of the messaging around, whether it's just flipping some words so that it's cooling and heating, whether it is the title tags and the meta descriptions that aren't as visible to users on the website, but are visible in a lot of cases when they're searching, you know, on the Google search results page, they're going to see those things. And leading with some of the more seasonally appropriate languages is good there. The other thing too is making sure that your site is ready for the demand, right? So we talked about shoulder season. You know, if you're an industry where things heat up in the summertime, well, not only is it appropriate to make sure that your services and everything is ready on the website, but also your website is functioning well. That you're doing a review of your website. Is it as easy as possible for somebody to contact you after they figure out that you can fulfill the need that they have? So things like having your phone number always visible no matter how far they scroll down the page, having forms that are on every page and high up for those emergency type services. Like, you know, again, I'm not going to stick on the AC companies, but like if your AC is out and it's your first 90 degree day of the year, like you need that fixed yesterday and you don't want to have to hunt through the website to be able to contact somebody. So there's a lot of little things that you can do in prep for the summer that are really just to make sure your website is ready to receive customers at whatever point in the decision process they're at. And in some cases, that's emergencies. So mobile sites, desktop sites that need to be as user-friendly.
I probably skipped over, Chase, a good point for our listeners, which like we kind of just jumped right into the website updates you should make, right? But when should you start thinking about these things? Is it now? Again, it's May 16th when we're recording. Is it now?
Thinking about it, Brandon, you're probably too late. Obviously, you know, do it now. But like, you should have already been thinking about this, you know, in April. You know, I think for a lot of folks, end of February starts to bring in a little bit more of that warmer weather, a little bit milder weather. You're exiting some of that cooling weather, you know, and people are starting to itch to get outside. And so once that starts to happen, they're going to start to behave in different ways. We start to see the upward trend of searches, even if they're starting to do research, which means as a marketer, as a business owner, you have got to be thinking about the promotions, content topics, and then also what we're just talking about now, website improvements and changes, in those late Q1 months so that you are ready. Like if it is May and you are just now starting to think about it, you're behind most folks who have their marketing planning dialed in. It's not to say that you can't act quickly, but yesterday, that was the best time.
Well, it takes time to generate results online. And, you know, people would say what you want about paid media or PPC, Google Ads, whatever. And it is much more of a short-term lead generation tool, you know, kind of a quick fix to make the phone ring. But you're right, it takes time to generate results online. It takes time to build campaigns. And absolutely, if you're waiting till now to start prepping your digital marketing for summer, it's already too late. But there are some quick things, like you mentioned, that you can make adjustments to just to subtly speak to those customers to say, hey, you know, we're ready to serve you. Like you said, imagery, you know, making sure that your summertime services, if you're an exterior remodeler, you know, in Florida, hurricane season, make sure your siding pages are fully visible, right? And in the different parts of your home that might be damaged, the services that you offer. So absolutely, Chase. I mean, I agree. I think if you're waiting till May 16th when we record this to start thinking about these, you're thinking too late. How should a contractor work with their marketing agency, though, Chase, to set, like you've mentioned a ton of stuff, everything from imagery to technical SEO to promotional calendars, right? What's the best way to make sure that you're aligned with your marketing agency on all these things? Because there's a lot to happen.
There's a lot that can happen. There's a lot that should happen. I think it starts with having an initial conversation about what you typically expect out of each of the summer months or the months leading up to summer. And what I mean by that is for a lot of our industries that we work with, where seasonality plays a big part, you use the word seasonally enhanced. I think that's a very soft way of putting it for most of our companies. Some folks live and die, depending on the time of year and the location they're in, by those summer months. And I mean live and die from a revenue standpoint. And so arming your marketing agency with, okay, these months are typically our most profitable months. These are our busiest months. This is where we make up for some of those slower months at the beginning of the year that are milder. That's step number one, is, you know, giving your marketing partner that kind of information. Step number two is starting to think a little bit about what you're comfortable offering from a promotion standpoint, from a positioning in the market standpoint. So I know not every company wants to offer discounts or promotions, but for those that are comfortable doing it, and I think given the current state of the economy and the market that we're in, that's a big driving factor for a lot of people to have their interest piqued is, you know, will you waive the trip charge? Like, is there some sort of dollar off that I could get? Starting to think early now about what you used last year, what worked really well. Was there a contest that you used, you know, leading into summer to drum up awareness? Those types of things are good to educate a partner, maybe who hasn't been with you for a full year yet, but also just to start to think along those lines, because those are some of the questions you're going to get asked is, okay, are there things that you want to promote more in the summer? Is it, you know, this specific type of install? Is it that you want to go heavy after, you know, this type of audience, or you really want to write blog topics about these types of things? You know, and those questions, a lot of times, if you have a good partner, they already know, if they've been working in that industry, what are good pieces of advice to give you. But at the same time, you know your customer best, you know your market, you know what's worked really well in the past. I think if you can meet your partner in the middle, and assets are great too. We talked about imagery. You can continually be taking pictures of jobs, especially if you're in a design and a visual type of industry like remodeling or landscaping, starting to think about how you can be taking pictures of projects that you can then provide when the weather's great. A lot of times you can't take those types of pictures in the wintertime and some spring times. So working that into your on-site employees, and that's a good thing to think about, is how are you going to provide assets, but also just what are the types of things that you've done in the past that are comfortable for you? Because ultimately what you want to get to as a marketing plan is, what things do we need to do now that will take time to grow? So on-site content, things like that. What things do we need to have ready when the time comes, whether that be assets that we can use for July 4th promotions, things like that, or, you know, custom banners that you want to use on July 4th. And what types of things are important for your market? And when I say that, there could be community events that you participate in, where if you don't tell your partner that, they can't use that and leverage that in their planning. And so being open about what you've done in the past, what you're comfortable using as you're positioning in the marketplace in the summer, and what you want to prioritize and target, for me, are the biggest and most important things you can do as a business owner or as a marketing professional that's working with, you know, a marketing partner, and everything kind of moves out of that.
Well, I think the most important thing, at least to me, that you said in that response, Chase, was that, like, look at previous year's data and figure out what's working and what's not. I feel like that is a big, probably maybe the number one challenge that we encounter here at Blue Corona and have to work to solve on behalf of our customers, is understanding what's working and what's not. You know, a lot of times customers come to us and say at the root of the issue is they need more, let's say they need more calls, right? They need more leads and they need them cheaply, right? They want them for as cheap as possible. And it's always marketing's fault if they're not cheap or if the phone's not ringing. And then they come to us and they say, well, the phone's not ringing. I think I need YouTube ads, or I think I need to do some crazy idea that doesn't necessarily, you know, the end goal of that marketing strategy doesn't necessarily align with the problem they're trying to solve, which is more leads, more phone calls. And so I think that's super important what you said about being able to have the right tracking and analytics in place to be able to look back at historical campaigns and say, what drove calls, qualified leads, jobs booked, revenue, right? Because if you don't have that visibility into what strategies are driving those things, you don't know, to your point, Chase, you don't know what levers to pull. You don't know what's worked. And so when it comes to preparing your digital marketing for summertime this year, you might not know, or you're just making guesses or throwing pasta at a wall and see what sticks. So I love that you said that, Chase.
And let's be clear too, if you didn't have a fantastic Q1, which Q1 was hit or miss for a lot of companies. Some months in Q1 this year was really good for a lot of our companies, but other months, you know, the weather was weird, or, you know, it was just a weird month. There's a lot of anxiety that comes with, we have to make up ground. And if you compare to previous years and say, by this time, we normally are, you know, at this point in our growth trajectory, and we're not there. A lot of companies have hired ahead. That's something we haven't talked about yet, because it's not typically a marketing function. But if you're planning on aggressive growth, you have to staff up for that. And for those customers of ours who have staffed up and they have the capacity, that is the number one thing. Get on the phone. It's leads are down, and I have people sitting around, and I do not want, well, good people sitting around. And so if you haven't looked backwards, if you haven't looked at all the KPIs to understand, is this a demand thing? Is this a prices have increased and my budget isn't going as far as it used to last year thing? Is this a the entire industry is down thing? The anxiety kind of builds to a point of, well, you know, I saw this other thing. Like, we got to test this. Like, we're going to test this shiny object because it promises, you know, my local rankings are going to like skyrocket through the roof. And I think there's a red flag to be had for anyone who promises immediacy to marketing success, because consumers are so inundated nowadays that I don't want to say that they're more educated, they're smarter, but like, you can't hack immediate success.
You see a new statistic, I feel like, every month about how many marketing messages we as consumers see every day. And it's probably in the hundreds. I don't even know what it's at anymore. But you're right, Chase. I mean, it's making sure you know what worked, right? It's making sure you know what didn't work and what wasted money, and then facilitating your budget or moving dollars and allocating your budget over to what's working to help you achieve your goals. So I absolutely love that.
And I'll close with this on that topic, which is understanding how to evaluate marketing is super important to being able to find the right answer as things go up and down, right? It's understanding why last month was a successful month, understanding why last year was a successful year, understanding what happens or what drives things when they're down, to be able to have a very rich conversation with your marketing partner about, okay, I see my cost per lead is going up. Is that because the cost per click and the bidding, you know, is just becoming more expensive? Is that because there's more competition in my market? Is there more money being funneled in? Is that because there was fewer searches this year? Is it because people are spending less time on the site and they're more impatient? You know, is it because there's something else going on? I think being able to ask those questions before making a knee-jerk reaction is super critical to not overcorrect.
Chase, I want to switch gears a little bit here. I want to shift the focus to SEO or search engine optimization. You know, organic rankings on Google. How do you show up in the MAC packs? Am I ranking number one? Am I outranking my competitor for the term AC repair near me? Right? There's all these things. And in regards to SEO, one of the ways we look at it here at Blue Corona is we view SEO, there's really four main components of it. There's your site structure, right? That's kind of the technical, the website coding, the framework, your schema markup, like all the back end geeky kind of stuff that like Google's crawlers see, but we as consumers don't see, right? So there's site structure, and then there's on-site content, your text, your images, your blogs, your infographics, your videos, you know, everything like that. There's off-site factors, so, you know, your directory listings, your backlinks, and then local SEO, which is a lot of, local SEO is a lot more of the directory listings, right? Your Google Business Profile, Better Business Bureau, Bing Places, and whatnot. So there's a lot that goes into SEO. There's over like 200 or 250 ranking factors on Google. So to distill down, Chase, your tips to prepare your SEO campaigns for summertime is probably going to be nearly impossible. But what are like a couple, maybe two or three things, Chase, that from an SEO perspective that a contractor should really be focusing on in order to prep for that summer demand?
Well, without giving away the secret sauce, I can't. No one knows what the secret sauce is, but
somebody at Google knows.
Maybe somebody at Google. Yeah, they keep changing it. I think one of the first things to focus on is your local SEO and specifically your Google Business Profile. Now, for a lot of companies, they haven't spent as much time on the Google Business Profile or specifically, you know, charge their marketing partners with optimizing that in years past because it was just a profile that was on, you know, the side of the Google search engine results page. You know, now it is right underneath the paid ads. It is above the SEO organic rankings. And for a lot of our clients, well, it is a higher lead driver if they have a mature and established profile than some of their SEO results. And so I think spending time evaluating how your profile is optimized compared to your competition. How are you driving reviews? Is that a focus area for you coming into summer? Because if you think about it, it's tough to increase reviews when you're not doing as many jobs, right? So if you're only doing maintenance calls, you're probably not going to get as many reviews because they're existing customers. You know, they're not going to give you a review every time, you know, but as summer heats up, you need to make sure that you're ready and have the right tools in place, the right strategy in place to leverage that high volume of demand and jobs you're doing and turn that into a high volume of 5-star, 4.9, you know, reviews. But how you optimize your Google Business Profile, you know, on a regular basis, not just once in a while, not just spamming content in the post section, but like in a very calculated way of updating the order of the products and which products you want to be seen first. You know, your posting topic schedule, maybe office hours are changing as daylight is, you know, getting more prevalent. You know, things like that, I think, are important from a local standpoint. And then to be able to measure, are your local rankings improving? Because if you're not measuring that, you just assume that because you have 2,000 4.9-star reviews, you should be ranking all over the place and getting and it's not always the case. So that's number one. Number two, from an SEO standpoint, I think it's important to look at the content that you have on your site and make sure that it is current and authoritative. So it's one thing to have a page around AC repair. It's another thing to look at that page and say, okay, is this as authoritative as it could be? From a industry expertise standpoint, is it providing my customers the right information so that if they are searching with either a question in mind or a specific keyword phrase, that it's optimized for that? Because content is still king. And the reason I know content is still king is most people are starting to at least scratch the surface of what is AI going to do? What is AI going to do in the future? And how does that change marketing? And if you think about it, so take ChatGPT for instance, right? A lot of people use ChatGPT. They're starting to use that. It is a very conversational platform, right? You ask questions, you get a response, things of that nature, but it has to pull from somewhere, right? It's not a made up database, which means it is crawling the web. It already crawled the web. You know, it goes back to, I think, January 2022, I think is the most recent.
Did they just update it? I didn't even know that because I know it was pretty, what was it, 2020, 2021 before that. And so.
Yeah, I was reading some articles recently that I think January of 2022 is maybe the most recent
update. We're in progress.
Yeah, but if you think about it, newer platforms are going, or Google itself, as it uses AI, is going to start to leverage that same type of model, but it still has to pull from somewhere. And it's going to pull from content on the internet, and it's going to pull from what it deems as the most authoritative content, right? And so that doesn't mean keyword stuff. It doesn't mean, you know, you always need to have long format blog posts that are 2,000 words. But it does mean that you need to demonstrate with the content on your website that A, you service the area that you want. So use keywords, use geo modifiers, but also that you're capable and understand the needs, the pain points, and have a solution for how to service that. Because if you can do... if you can build your website in a way that not only says, I know what your pain is, we do these things, you've probably experienced these things. Not only will you show up for the types of searches like, you know, plumber near me, AC contractor, you know, in fill in the blank city, but you'll also start to show up in some of the people also search for those question and answer expandable sections on Google. And that's another big area where if you can make your page a little conversational, you'll pay dividends.
I want to jump in here, Chase. Again, you touch on a lot, and knowing you over the past 10 years, I know you can, you like to talk. All right, I want to back it up to Google Business Profile. Because that was the first thing that you started with. And I totally understand why you did start with it, because it is super underutilized in the home services industry. Like I think you said, most people like either set it and forget it, or, you know, maybe they were verified and then got unverified. But we see through our tracked phone call data, we see more than 50% of all organic phone calls coming through that GBP, Google Business Profile tracked phone line. Now that could be from the knowledge graph or the listing that actually populates, you know, if someone searches Chase's landscaping, right? And Chase's landscaping profile pops up, right? That's the knowledge graph, but it also populates within the maps listing. So if someone searches landscaper near me or landscape architect near me or something like that, right? That GBP tracked phone line is going to come up. And again, more than 50% of all organic phone calls are coming through that tracked phone line. So it's absolutely important to be optimizing that. So 100%. And John Mueller, who is used to be the Google senior webmaster trends analyst, and I pulled up this quote, so I didn't get it wrong when you were talking about Google Business Profile, Chase, but this is literally one of the head guys at Google from years past saying, quote, for a local service business, make sure that you really have a strong Google Business Profile set up, because that's something that can be shown a little bit easier in the search results for searches like near me. Have your location clearly defined on your pages so that Google can recognize the location and associate it with your website. So there we have it. We have Google itself saying, optimize your Google Business Profile and make sure that your Google Business Profile information matches what is on your website. So 100% Chase. I mean, that's the head nerd from Google himself coming out and saying.
But, and you notice he didn't just say add images. Like, that is one component, but everybody knows I'm going to add more images. And it's like, that's great. You know, the metadata from that is going to be picked up in, you know, AI image searches and things like that. It's way more than just images. And I think most people don't realize that.
What about from a paid perspective, Chase? We've talked website. Now we've talked SEO or search engine optimization, really organic. What about from a paid perspective? Because a lot of our customers spend thousands, if not tens or hundreds of thousands. I know we have customers that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on pay-per-click advertising or all forms of paid media in general, right? And so when there's that sort of money at stake and you rely on paid media or pay-per-click advertising to drive a good bulk of business, what are some of the things that from a paid perspective, a contractor should either be holding their agency accountable to making sure these changes are happening, or if they run it maybe in-house, that they should be thinking about to prepare their paid campaigns for the summertime demand?
Well, first and foremost, you need to make sure that you are turning off your wintertime ads as demand for that.
Your furnace repair ads?
Yeah, yeah. But you need to, you know, make sure that you have certain ad groups and ad campaigns ready to go that have keyword phrases and negative keyword templates in place. That's one of the biggest things that can go wrong is if you're still running all service lines and some are more seasonal than other, like you're just wasting clicks in some cases. The other thing to do is make sure that you know when you want your ad schedules to run and how that needs to change if the weather changes. So for instance, in order for a budget to be balanced throughout the entire month, because as we all know as marketers, like certain weeks, great weeks, certain days, heavier on the demand side of things. Not every day, not every week is going to be the same, but a lot of that can be driven by events and can be driven by weather. And so knowing when and how you can fluctuate and being ready to do that, having that conversation with your marketing partner to be able to say, hey, how long would it take if, you know, we knew that something was coming for me to tell you, turn this way up? Or, you know, if we get slammed with capacity, what does it look like from a communication to be able to pull back on certain ads so that we're not just spending and clicking on thing or getting clicks, paying for clicks, if we can't facilitate and book those folks? So, you know, the keywords, making sure they're seasonally appropriate, making sure that your budgets are in line with the demand you expect. So one of the biggest mistakes you can make is assuming that you should keep the exact same budget for paid advertisement throughout the year. So if we're talking about paid search ads, that's probably something that during the summer months, if you are a seasonally enhanced contractor, well, you should plan on having a larger budget during those summer months.
And by paid search, you mean, just so everyone's on the same page, our listeners, you mean pay-per-click, right?
Yeah, pay-per-click. And to a lesser degree, you know, Google Local Service ads as well, I think can play into that as part of it. There's less control you have over those. But the flip side of it is the awareness campaigns. So visual display ads, ads on certain social platforms where your consumers aren't searching for you, you're showing them first. Those are great things, even OTT, the ads that you see on streaming services. Those are great things to prime, you know, user top of mind awareness, but you may not run them as full blast during the summer months as you would a pay-per-click ad. When demand is high and people are searching, you need to be there to capture that. And then you can obviously, you know, adjust those budgets as you come out of the summer. But I think pre-planning your budgets is another thing so that you're not there and like, we just don't have budget to spend. Like, it's not planned out that way.
Well, I think that's an important thing to note as well, is that if you're a listener and you operate in, again, a weather-enhanced industry, right? So you can capitalize off a heat wave, a cold front, a hurricane, a summer storm, whatever it is, right? If you can capitalize off that, it's important to do that, right? And so not only from a paid perspective, but like Chase, you started talking about OTT, display ads, right? Making sure your messaging was correct and then priming these customers so that, you know, maybe they don't need your service today, but when they do need you, you're top of mind. How important is consistent messaging, consistent creative across your website, organic, your paid advertisements, your OTT, your email? How important, Chase, is that consistency in messaging and creative in order to drive positive results?
Well, I would answer that question by saying, how low is the attention span of the typical consumer these days, right? We're seeing drops in the amount of time people spend on site, the number of pages they spend on site. But if you just think about the amount of social media distractions and things that you are inundated with, I think you make the comment earlier about like how many different advertisements we see as consumers on a daily basis. The consistency is what resonates. If you see five different messages from the same company, unless there's something consistent about that, where it always starts in the same way, or there's always like a very bold element to it, and then everything else is supplemental. Unless that's the case, the consistency is what people remember. You know, whether it's the same type of visual, whether it's the same wording of messaging across multiple platforms, what you have to appreciate is there is implicit bias that happens when somebody is ready to search. And if they've heard your company's name 5-10 times in the last week or so, and then they do a search for whatever need they have, and they're staring at two of your competitors and your ad, and they've heard your name over and over and over again, unless you've said something that has truly offended them, like in the back of their mind, subconsciously, they're like, these guys are everywhere. Like they clearly, you know, are local to me, and clearly, you know, they are the experts because like I hear them on the radio, I hear them, you know, I see them in between my Hulu, you know, so they clearly have a good system. And then there's the paid ad. And so you're more likely statistically to click on, you know, that paid ad because you've seen them over and over and over again. And it is the consistency of messaging. You know, different messages resonate with different people at different times, but that consistency is super important to, you know, increase your odds of being selected across the competition.
Jace, I want to switch gears. As summertime rolls around and our customers or someone who's in a weather-enhanced industry and experiences greater consumer demand during the summertime, one of the things that's important is making sure that your marketing budget is not going to waste, right? Every call that someone generates through marketing, whether that be word-of-mouth marketing, pay-per-click, SEO, paying for that in one sense or another, right? Word of mouth, you're paying for your technician to go out and provide a great experience. There's a cost to that. SEO, you pay your marketing agency. Pay-per-click, you pay your marketing agency for the management, plus Google or Microsoft and Yelp and whoever for the ad budget, right? And so every missed call is essentially like throwing marketing dollars in the trash, right? Or lighting it on fire. And during summertime, when calls come in fast and furious, it can sometimes be challenging for our clients to keep up with that phone call demand. And that results in a lot of calls going to voicemails, missed calls. How big of a issue is missed calls within the home services? And as it relates to summertime, what are some things that a contractor can do or put in place in order to eliminate those missed calls and get more book jobs, qualified leads and book jobs out of their marketing budget?
Well, first off, you talked about the financial pain point of it. You're investing marketing dollars, you're paying your employees, and to ignore those, to miss those, whether it's intentional or not, there is a financial impact to that. But the other one is a brand impact, right? If you start to see 12%, 15%, 20% of inbound calls being missed, how many of those customers are ever going to call you back? How many of those customers are going to talk about their negative experience? Like, you know, I had a broken system and they just didn't answer the phone.
I've had a terrible experience calling contractors here for different things. One of them was an air conditioning contractor. I knew it was an answering service who didn't provide great customer service. And I did leave a message, but I did not move forward with them. Just because you're right. It was just like, I knew I was talking to a voicemail. Now, maybe I'm biased through, you know, working at Blue Corona, but I instantly knew, and it was like, this was not the company for me.
Well, but I think consumers are impatient. Consumers expect a lot more, I think, nowadays than they did in the past because they have so many options. Like, if I'm going to pick you, I expect a certain level of either response or quality. So I think that there's an even larger impact that is very difficult to quantify the impact to your brand in the marketplace. And I think, honestly, I'd rather you not spend money if you can't service or answer those calls. You know, I'd rather you pull your budget back than to let those calls go missed. But your other question was, how do you avoid that? make sure that you know how to staff and handle the dispatch inside of things so that that's never the reason why you're willing to let calls go, is because you're too busy and you can't facilitate that.
Plenty of other services available for that not to be, you know, I don't want to say an excuse, but, you know, a reason to be missing calls.
100%. And I think if you know that summer is your busiest time, right? It's one thing if you're a first-time business owner, this is your first rodeo. It's another thing if you've been through this and you know that once certain temperatures hit, people are excited or they have issues. You have to have contingency plans if your customer service reps or your call center, you know, could get overloaded. And if you haven't pre-planned that out, then the next thing is you need to have tracking in place to be able to monitor. Like you mentioned missed calls, like it's, you know, a very known, you know, issue. Not everybody realizes how many calls they're missing, right? You know, a lot of business owners, they're just going through the like, man, we spent a lot, we didn't get as much, you know, and if they don't have the visibility because they don't have a customer service manager who is tracking it, and they don't have a marketing partner who has the capability to track missed calls, they may not even know it's an issue. So you have to know it's an issue or know it, you know, could potentially be an issue. The way in which you get ahead of it is to have a contingency plan. So you need to have some sort of overflow, right? Is whether it's late night or weekends, if you, you know, offer same day or 24-hour support, you know, or if it's simply just during peak business hours, if your customer service team can't scale up to handle high demand, you need to invest in a service, a proven entity that can do it in a way that you're confident won't compromise your customer's experience, but also will enhance the ability of you to take advantage of those calls. So it's not enough to just say, you know, oh, well, we have an answering service. Like, how does your answering service do? Do they represent your company well? You know, are they helping you book those calls? Do they have a script that aligns with how you would want those handled? Because if it's 20 or 30% of the calls that you're getting during peak time.
I mean, it's like throwing 20% or 30% of your marketing budget down the drain. Like, you might as well do that.
Well, I mean, play the math game, right? Is, you know, even if you save or put something in place that allows you to handle another 10% of those calls, if that 10%, let's just say it equates to 100 calls, even if you only close 50% of those into jobs, or maybe even you have the opportunity to close 50% of those, and then you, you know, end up closing, you know, another 20% of that 50, like, what is that in revenue to you? And then you're looking at lifetime value of a customer. If that's a new customer, you know, those are the ones that are going to be maintenance agreements for you in the fall, in the winter, or those are the ones that you're going to be able to do more jobs for if you're a modeler down the line. A lot of it just comes down to a numbers game. You already paid for that call. You should at least have contingencies in plan to scale up your existing customer service reps or to have something after so many rings that it flips to somebody that you're confident in and help you facilitate this.
I mean, I've talked to, I can't tell you how many customers, Chase, or clients or people at trade shows who say, yeah, I'm spending more during the summer, but then they don't think about the staff to answer that phone, right? So they recognize and acknowledge that they need to compete more online. They need to capture that summertime demand, but yet from a back-end perspective, they're not staffed or they don't have the capacity to handle all of those phone calls. Like we've said, that's like throwing marketing dollars right down the drain. I mean, we've got a customer who invested in our lead capture live in the Midwest, an HVAC and plumbing company. And I mean, we estimated that $275,000 worth of additional revenue came out of it just by having someone answering the phones when they weren't answering the phones before. I was talking to David Hamrick, our VP of client accounts, Chase, and he was working with a client and he said, what's happening every Wednesday at 9 a.m.? And they're like, what? And he said, what's happening every Wednesday at 9 a.m.? And they said, that's our all hands call, our all company call. And missed calls went to 100%, spiked from 100% from their regular range, right? And so those are all dollars that are just being thrown away. And it's not any fault of the business owner. You're wearing a million hats. And, you know, the last thing on your mind is to notify your marketing agency that you have all hands company call. every Wednesday at 9 a.m., but it does impact your marketing spend. It impacts your marketing performance and ultimately your ROI.
The example you just used, they don't always know, you know, and that's the toughest part is what ends up happening is then you start to evaluate the marketing. You're like, why am I spending so much, but I'm getting, you know, less than I should be? And it's like, well, the cost per lead is going through the roof. Well, the cost per lead is only as good as if you answer the phone and actually, you know, engage in a lot of cases, unless you're just measuring all phone call contacts. It's something you have to plan for. And I mean, vacations happen with your customer service reps.
People quit, you know, you expand into new service areas and maybe an outsourced solution is the more affordable solution than hiring folks in that new service area.
If you think about it from a business owner's perspective, it is salary, benefits, PTO, training, management. Typically, once you get to a certain size, you need to have a customer service manager that you're holding accountable for them. You know, and then you'd have to go out and hire more folks. And what is that lag in getting them up to speed? So there's a lot of opportunity costs.
Chase, we're over an hour here. I'm going to do my best to try to summarize our tips for preparing a contractor's digital marketing campaigns for summer. So starting with the website, update your imagery, your services, your navigation. Make sure the services that you want to push during the summertime are front and center and easily findable from a user perspective as well. From an SEO perspective, change your Google business profile, primary category, if it's necessary, right? Pay attention, optimize your Google business profile, your metadata, your content. And then from a paid perspective, making sure that your promotions are aligned across all channels. You're really taking a look at the landing pages, your keyword management, your ad scheduling to make sure that everything aligns with your goals. Did I miss anything there? I'm sure I did, but probably too much for us to remember.
And I think that's a good starting point. And obviously, you know, if you have the right partner, you know, they're going to suggest new things and you need to hold them accountable to what your expectations are so that you're in line with what the summer should be for you.
Well, Chase, I really appreciate your time this evening. I normally have to say this afternoon, but I guess this evening here, we're wrapping up. It's almost 9:45. So appreciate you jumping on with us today. And how can people get in touch with you, Chase, if they want to learn more?
Well, certainly by email. So you can go to the Blue Corona website and fill out one of our contact forms, but I'm also available at jace.wolf@bluecorona.com. So happy to have a conversation and hopefully facilitate some growth.
We'll link your LinkedIn profile from the podcast description. So if any listeners want to connect with Chase, please do. Chase, we appreciate your time this evening. Why don't you go get some sleep before you got that midnight feeding with your son?
I'm going to do my best.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Take care, Brandon.
See ya.